to drop us so you can be with someone basic. Someone without all that baggage you left us with.
But we still try. That's why I'm here. Trying and saving and trying to save like we do. Here I am. Admirable or ridiculous?
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. That's Candy Alexander playing Mama Pope on Scandal with a stinging monologue for Daddy Pope. Is she speaking the truth? Is this the black woman's burden? My guests are Siobhan Odom. She's a psychotherapist and founder of Acoma Counseling Concepts. And Jessica Brown. She's a financial expert and CEO of College Girl. Both of these ladies are single professionals. And we want to hear from you. Lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let me go back to the phone lines. Lane, calling from Waldorf. Thanks for calling, Lane. What's on your mind?
I'd just like to say that I think that you can't group everyone into the same area. Mm-hmm. You know, when I even looking at my own life, the people that my mother has been involved with, a lot of them seem like they had that whole, you know, get in and get out and leave her once, you know, they got what they wanted. But then you take me, for instance. I've been married to my wife for 16 years. I've never cheated on her. I've never mistreated her. I always try to raise her up and I always try to do what's best for her. So I don't think that we can group all black men or all black women into the same category. We have to look at each individual case separately and judge it by that. And I think what another one of the guests said that you had to make sure that you said what you wanted, and you if you wanted to be treated a certain way, then you had to make it be known that you wanted to be treated that way. And I think that's important when you're dealing with other people.
Okay, Lane, thank you so much. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Valerie, calling from Columbia, what's on your mind?
Hi, yes. Thank you for having me.
Sure.
I just want to say that I definitely think this is a voice of a lot of black women out here. I listened to some of the other callers, and when I listened to the monologue, it kind of took me back to the movie Waiting to Exhale and thinking about Angela Bassett's part when she was upset that her husband left her and how she stood by him. And I think just as one of the other callers said, you know, as black women, we are already strong and we are a nurturing by nature. So when we love hard and we stand by our man through thick and thin. And sometimes, you know, there's times where you just have to, or you feel as though you're going to lift them up and, you know, let your goals and dreams and aspirations go by the wayside to lift them up, do what you need to do for the family. And then when they get to where they need to be, then you're left with nothing. And I think that has happened a lot. And that's why it touches so many people. And, you know, I'm just looking at my mom who, mm-hmm. you know, grew up, you know, in the 60s and 70s when she got married. You know, she did every single thing for my dad. I mean, everything. She was, you know, just what most moms see. I mean, most moms are. They, I mean, where they do everything. They stay in the home. They take care of the
kids.
Yeah,
Valerie, I got it. We got it. And thank you so much for because I know we're getting ready to become part of your family if you start telling your
yes.
mother's story. So thank you so much. I appreciate it. I get the point. Okay, so before I go back to the phone lines, Jessica, how do you think men, specifically black men, should view this monologue? What should they take away from it? Dramatic emphasis notwithstanding. Because you know, when you look at it, I mean, even from my perspective, you know, I get it. I listen to it, but I have to separate, you know, the dramatic emphasis because Candy Alexander's pretty scary in this thing. She really puts it down as Mama Pope. So how should black men view this?
Well, you know, they say behind every black man is a strong black woman. And Mama Pope made some great points about, you know, who's going to be there for me. And I think that's kind of really where the bottom line falls. It's like, as a woman, we are always continuously doing for our man. And when it's time for our man to come and show up, and it's not anything monetary that we're asking for. We're not asking for a lot.
You sure?
For me, in my life.
You said we.
Well, a majority, I think, of us,
okay,
you know,
I'm
black
just,
women.
Just asking.
You know,
just
I think many of the black women, we're not asking for money, right? I think we are just asking for the love in return. And I think that's something that the black man sometimes has a problem with doing is sometimes for some men, especially I can speak for my father. You know, my father has his own business. My father's been married my whole entire life to another woman that's not my mom. And money for him is his way of showing love. So I think it all comes down to, you know, how men show love. And if your man is showing love in a monetary way, then you shouldn't keep receiving those gifts, because you're showing him that that's what love is, if he keeps giving you money.
Well, we need to do a love language show, but because you can't say if that's how he does it and you want it, then that may not be your way. But if that's his way, now you either leave, you get counseling, or you accept his kind of love.
But right. But that's the thing. And I think some of these black women who've been in some of the situations that have some of these high power men, they've never had money before. Mm-hmm. They've never had a man that could financially take care of them. They've seen their mother struggle. So when they get this man with all this money, especially for me, you know, I'm young. I'm 27 years old. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of friends who have rich boyfriends and things of that nature, but are these women really getting love? You know, you're getting all these gifts, you're getting this, you're getting that, but what are you really getting when you get home?
But I also think too, it's like what one of the listeners has said earlier, it's a case by case thing. It's not one size fits all,
right?
You said you're 27. I just turned 35 last week. And you know, again, we're in the District of Columbia, so it's nothing to meet men out here with money. So again, if a woman wants, exactly. So I'm just saying, but if a woman wants to date a man because of what he's offering her, and she doesn't know that, oh, this man is able to do this for me because he can afford it. But if I came into his life 10 years ago, he wouldn't be taking me to these wonderful, expensive dates because he couldn't afford it. So then I'd be able to see whether this person is really into me or not. And that goes back to what you were saying. Love languages. If some of these women, their love language is receiving gifts, they're going to be all in for it,
right?
Because the man is speaking their love language. But again, we teach people how to treat us. I think one of the biggest myths that I've heard out there as a black woman that have been told to me many times, a black woman, you can change a man. No, a man changes if he wants to change.
Right.
A man changes if he's inspired to change. So again, I think that we have to be mindful. Again, any married person will tell us this. You have to be mindful of who you're in a relationship with.
But how do you know who you're in a relationship with until you get so far in?
Yeah, and that's the point. You gotta know mm-hmm. who you're with. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. CJ, calling from Fort Washington. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon, Harold.
Hey, man.
I want to touch on one thing, a couple of things. The first speaker, and I forgot her name, she hit the nail on the head real early. Of course, Mama Polk had that monologue, and it sounds great. But what people fail to realize is she didn't take responsibility for any of her actions or any of her choices. She just looked for someone to blame. And there's a pathology that has seeped into the consciousness of many African-American women in this country, where they're not conditioned to accept responsibility for their choices and their actions. A lot of times, the outcome of what's going on is directly related and points to a choice that they made or a decision that they made. So if you keep making a decision and you keep making the same type of choices, then you're going to have the same type of results. Einstein said that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. As an African-American man, it gets kind of redundant and tiring when African-American women want to be protected. They want us to speak highly of them. But then in situations, in settings like this, it's always a pathology they speak about that supposedly with African-American men. Maybe sometimes it's just a choice you made. If I have been in a lot of bad situations and I've been with a lot of bad women, then that's the choice that I'm making. It doesn't make sense for me to say that it's a problem among African-American women, because that's all that I date. It comes down to the choices that I make. And if sisters, and I love you all, would just stop for a second and look in the mirror and say, what is it about me that causes me to constantly experience these same things without automatically looking for a man to point to, then we won't have conversations like this.
I think we need to take a love offering up for CJ.
hey, CJ.
CJ, thank you so much. I appreciate your point. 202-319-7810. Ooh, 202-319-7810. Tam, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Okay, as I've been listening, and it's what everybody has already said, commenting on the comment as far as scandal was concerned, I think it's true, and then I think it's not true. I think we all go into relationships with different type of baggage. If we live long enough, we experience a lot of things. Male and female both have a lot of baggage going into anything. And then the comment was made about being saved. No, we can't save anybody. It's not our responsibility to save anyone. So I agree with everybody. I mean, really on what they was really saying earlier, only because we go in bad relationships and then we have good relationships. We cannot judge one bad relationship by another. So therefore, we cannot put everybody in a box and say that all men are bad or all women are bad. Hmm. And then I heard a comment a little earlier talking about the way women dress. Yes, you have to be authentic. What I'm saying is, it's anybody's choice, the way they want to look, the way they want to dress or whatever. But when a man sees that, something that's not for real or they think is not authentic, and then that's the way they're going to approach that situation.
Hold on. So, hold on. Whoa, Tam. Back that up just for a moment, okay, because I need to understand what you're saying as far as the way they dress and not being authentic. Explain that to me, please.
Okay, what I mean is when if a man see a woman with a whole bunch of fake hair or short clothes on or tight clothes on, I mean, that's really not authentic. I heard an earlier fella say something about you got to be virtual. You know, you got to be like a genuine woman.
You mean virtuous.
That's the only way you're going to receive a genuine man. Because men look at you based, see, the thing about men, they really base you on appearance more so than checking the heart first or whatever. So therefore, if they see you like that, you're not authentic.
Hold on, Tam. Go ahead, Jessica, because
I'm 27. My father's 76 years old. Me and him have nothing in common. And one thing he always talks about is that your natural beauty is everything. But what I have to, the question I pose back to him is, do you date women that are just as natural? No weaves, no fingernails, no makeup, no nothing.
Yeah, but first of all, you're talking to your dad. You need to talk to men that are your age. Because honestly, I don't care what a 70-year-old man thinks about what you're wearing.
But even still, just a man, period. Right. Ma'am, I just want to say this first off.
No, hold on. Let Jessica finish her point. Go ahead, Jessica.
I mean, pretty much like what I'm saying is that I understand her point of natural beauty is a beautiful thing. You're supposed to be natural. I completely get that. However, as a woman, of course, as a woman, if I want, I'm the queen of wigs. I love a wig, you know, but what is the, just because I'm wearing a wig or just because I'm wearing makeup, that doesn't take anything away from me as a person, you know? So I understand what you're saying, but I think in the context of maybe you want to focus your point to more of you dress how you want to be addressed more so. However, I just think that as a woman, if you're confident about who you are and where you come from and how you look, I really don't think that should really play a part.
Exactly, because if you want to wear a short skirt, you know, as long as I can't see what you have for breakfast, I don't care.
Right.
I mean, and if you have nice legs and that's the way you dress and you've paid for that stuff, then, you know, who cares?
Right, but ma'am, in the words of Erykah Badu, I'd much rather be with somebody with a natural mind and processed hair than somebody with a processed mind, okay? And I mean, seriously, and the fake hair. Because it doesn't matter what you have in your exterior. You are who you are.
Yeah, there you go. Well, thank you so much, Tam. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. David, calling from Los Angeles. We're talking to you next. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our discussion about Mama Pope from Scandal's stinging monologue for Daddy Pope. Is this the black woman's burden? 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. David, calling from Los Angeles. David, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, what's on my mind, the black woman has not really been, I mean, I hear about some of the women calling in talking about respect. Well, first of all, we need to go a little bit further than that. The black woman has been devalued. They haven't really been valued. You go to any store or anything of value is locked up. So respect is just something that we can pass on. As we at work, we may not like our coworkers, so we respect them, but we don't really value them. So the black woman has really been devalued throughout the process of life, and that's something that we all need to work on.
Yeah, I was about to say, because I was kind of waiting for the point, because my thing is, David, if you believe that the black woman has been devalued, then isn't today the day that you, me, and other, you know, black men focus on understanding that they should be valued, that they should be respected, that they should be treated with courtesy and that kind of thing. So, you know, no matter who has done the devaluing, I think that it's incumbent for all of us to make sure that we're doing it, you know, continually. So anyway, David, thank you so much. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. CD. Okay, CD, give me a call back if you can. Okay, so as we were having this right before the break, you know, Siobhan, we were, you know, kind of talking about, what did you say, the processed hair versus processed mind or the like. I guess, you know, overall, when you listen to this, you know, to this monologue, some people may see it as, you know, black women are just, you know, angry. There's also the piece about competing with white women. Is that overstated?
To be honest with you, I really don't know if that's overstated. I do know this, that if you perceive something as a competition in your mind, it is. And I'm saying this as a licensed mental health therapist. Anything that you perceive something to be is your reality. So if that's what you're creating to be your reality, that's fine. But I do want to add, again, as a single black woman, I've gone out and I've been in places where I've met like different black women that have told me, that's great, we're having this great conversation, but I don't want to be seen with you because I only want to date white men. And if I'm being seen with you, then no white men can come and talk to me.
Why is that?
I don't know.
No,
these weren't my friends. I mean, because I'm the type of woman, I'll go out and like just go get a drink by myself.
Okay, but back up. Explain that, because I'm just shaking my head. In this particular instance,
mm-hmm.
a black woman said to you,
two
different instances that they didn't want to be with you because they don't think that a white man would approach two black women.
Right, exactly. And so that's why that's why I'm saying some women might think it's a competition between them and other women for their men. But we're also forgetting that there are some populations of women, especially right here in the District of Columbia, because that's where it happened, two different occasions. They're not even trying to compete for some of our men. They're trying to go get some other people. And I think that should also be taken into consideration, too. So, again, if you're already feeling low self-esteem, if you've already been rejected, if you've already had experiences where people have told you you're too dark-skinned, your hair texture isn't good enough, you may be attracted to world experiences that already reinforce the negative thoughts and experiences that you've had already.
But
some people aren't even studying you. They ain't even thinking about you.
But hold on. I mean, Jessica, if you're a black woman and you're, you know, with a black guy who prefers Becky with the good hair, shouldn't you figure that out beforehand? Because that's about, isn't that about preference?
Yeah, I mean, like off the break, you know, I mean, you just know what he likes. I mean, after talking to him after a while, you kind of understand, okay, well, look, I know he likes Becky with the good hair. Maybe I'm not a good fit for him. But I think one of the challenging things, like even for me, I recently lost 50 pounds and I hang out with a lot of skinny, black, cute, petite, nice butt, all that, you know, women. And they'll, all the guys will come over. And none of them will talk to me at the time that I was bigger, you know, and it was just like, well, what's it about me? You know, it gets to a point now, I think society, we've just gone over this, you know, we don't like the natural black woman anymore. And a great Instagram post I saw the other day, I forgot what her Instagram name is, but she's a thicker woman and her husband is completely built. And she talked about embracing her curves and no matter what, he will love her, you know, and I think that's one of the topics and the themes that we do not talk about, you know, within the black community is because we're seeing the Rick Rosses, the Futures, and all these different hip-hop artists with these women with these great bodies on TV, get a Brazilian butt lift, drink a honey bunny, slim tea, whatever it is, you know, to get fit so you can get that man. And I think what we have to bring it back to is values, home values, and being a strong black woman and being... And being somebody that they value. And at the end of the day, why don't you value me? I am who I am. I am natural. You are glamorizing the fake versus glamorizing and loving me who is completely real.
But why don't you value you? And why are you seeking for someone to value you? Because someone can't pour into you what you're not going to give yourself.
But I mean, not saying I don't value myself. We do value ourselves, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But how hard is it for other bigger women to find love?
But why did you lose 50 pounds?
Well, I was on TV, so I had to lose 50 pounds.
Okay.
But...
Okay, serious question.
Right.
Why did you lose 50 pounds?
Well, for me, I lost 50 pounds, one, because I wanted to be healthier.
Stop.
But what I realized...
Stop. There it is. So you cannot condemn a man, black or otherwise, if he sees a larger woman and in his mind he says, well, she's not healthy. Okay? Mm-hmm. And you just lost...
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say that.
No, I would. I would.
Yeah.
As a certified group fitness instructor,
I wasn't really pulling.
I was 50 pounds is half a person,
right?
Okay, mm-hmm. if you're talking, that's half a small person. Mm-hmm. You said I lost 50 pounds because I wanted to be healthy,
but my love, no matter what, never changed.
Your what?
Like the love inside of me to give to other people.
He's not gonna walk down the street and say, "Oh, I see her love."
But why not?
Because the number one health issue in Ward 8 in District of Columbia right now is diabetes. Okay? Diabetes. Let me tell you what can happen. You can lose your vision. It's more than just
losing
a toe. So
big people can't get love too?
No, what I'm saying is you cannot condemn somebody because he doesn't want a larger woman. Just like you can't condemn a man who says, you know, only thing that wants a bone is a dog. If he wants a woman who is larger, again, this is about preference, which goes back to, and I'm not defending, you know, the guys that, you know, may leave a black woman for Becky with the good hair. Okay. I have no experience with that. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think that there is, you know, based on this monologue, you know, for her to say, you know, you build this, you know, black guy up and then then he leaves you for Becky with the good hair. You know, I believe unless there's something very, very special about him or Becky or this particular Becky, you know what he likes. Mm-hmm.
But how can you say that sometimes when sometimes out of nowhere they change up what they like?
No, we see the signs. We just ignore to pay attention to them. Because let me tell you something. When a man starts seeing signs, he eases up. A woman, when we start seeing signs, many of us keep pressing forward and going and going and going and going. And then we're mad when he doesn't switch up.
But you can be fit and you can be completely sexy and he'll still look at somebody else. So and still want to get with them.
Because if your personality is you know, if it sucks, again, we have celebrities out there that look beautiful and they have tortured souls and bad personalities.
But my point is that they never get to the personality, right? Because if you really get to the personality, many people with these fake bodies, fake everything, mm-hmm. they don't have a mind. They don't really have a personality, right? Because if they have any self-esteem, they wouldn't be going on under all these knives, all these lasers to try to
get looked at.
No, because remember when Harold asked you why you lost weight, your first thing was, well, hey, I'm in the media.
Right.
A lot of these celebrities, they are intact. Just like you seem like a very confident woman. They're confident, too, but they want to make money. They want to, you know, get out there and be more famous. So I don't think, again, as woman, black woman to black woman, we need to be mindful of the words that we use when we describe each other, because they tend to generalize very negative messages that stay in us long term, subconsciously. Then they end up in my chair.
And let me not put too fine a point on it, because I think that Siobhan is right. The first thing you said was, I was on TV. I spent 17 years in TV. I understand.
Right.
Okay. I understand. And the reality is, you know, for I'd say 90% of those, whether you're in TV news or whether you are a sitcom or a dramatic actor or what have you, you get fat, you get no work.
Right.
That's the reality, okay?
Right.
The other piece is, you said you did it to be healthy, okay? That is to be commendable. Mm-hmm. You should be commended, I should say, you know, for that. I understand business on one side, healthy on the other side. Don't condemn someone who says that person, you know, that person looks fit.
Right.
You know, because, you know, but again, like I said, as it relates to, go ahead.
I'm not contending that they don't look fit. It's just that many of them are overly oversized to be fit, meaning that they've gotten a lot of work done. And many of these, as being a black female in this world right now we live in, you have men that are not going for us regular women, right? Even though we could be the proper weight class and whatever, they never get a chance to learn our mind. They never get a chance to learn about us because they're so busy looking at our physical appearance.
That's because there's many of us women that would much rather spend time with those men that are looking for that, those kinds of things. Because again, I'm just saying, like, many women and men, when they're in a point in their life when they're ready to really be serious and settle down, they're going to be looking for content. So if when you're first coming and talking to me and you're telling me about what you can get and buy me stuff, I mean, I've been taken to some really nice dates, courtside, all that other stuff. But if you're not emotionally and psychologically stimulating me for conversation one, I can already tell what you're about.
Right.
I think you make an excellent point. The reality is, no matter what you have, how much education you have, how big your house is, how fancy your car is, who are you naked? And I don't mean without clothes,
right,
but I mean, who are you really naked? And after we see whether she's big, whether she's small, once we decide that we like what she looks like, men are looking for a soft place to land.
There we go.
Mm-hmm.
I think I said that very well.
Yes, you did.
All right. Siobhan Odom and Jessica Brown, thank you both so much. I really appreciate it. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, June 9th. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Taylor Thomas, Troy Johnson, Millette Green, Bramante Bryant, producer Candace Atkins, engineers Craig Fowler and Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. Follow me on Twitter at HFisher, WHUR, or Daily Drum, WHUR. Now, stay tuned for the